This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
It is a wonderful Wednesday. It is You Better You Bet. It is Nick Costos. It's the returning Ken Barkley. And it's you here with us on the BetQL Network. Simulcast for the next 2 hours by our friends over at Stadium, and it's going to be a badass 2 hours of wagertainment. Dane Brugler is going to join us coming up in just a second from The Athletic, their outstanding NFL draft analyst who dropped a 7-round mock draft today. Just like saying that makes me tired, makes me exhausted, the thought of doing that. But Dane Brugler is one of the best in the business. NFL draft, 8 days away, one of the high holy days on the sports betting calendar. Dane Brugler will join us in just a moment coming up from The Athletic. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, stops by in 20 minutes. We look forward to that. Always love our weekly visit with the great Brian Baldinger, talking all things National Football League. Baldy, as plugged in as it gets. We'll get back to the NBA postseason next hour on the show. Our thoughts on the first round series, markets for those series, thoughts on various game ones coming up this weekend, and we will also talk NBA Finals MVP. And we did a bunch on the NBA playoffs in hour number one. If you missed it, just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. And then coming up in the final hour of the show, our thoughts on the NHL playoffs. We have 5 of 8 series in the first round already locked in. We'll talk about those, and we will give you all our bets for tonight in the final hour of the show as well, including for both NBA play-in games and the Eastern Conference later tonight with the Bulls and the Hawks from Chicago, and the main event, the Miami Heat visiting Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. So Dane Brugler, Ken, is going to join us coming up in just a second. Can't wait this weekend for the NBA playoffs. Can't wait for the NHL playoffs. And next week, it's NFL draft week here on the show. And I'm feeling like things are really starting to ramp up the NFL draft, both from an interest perspective and obviously from our perspective as well, putting bets down on these things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all remember, if you were listening to our show last year, the day of the draft, like the drama around like who the second overall pick would be, who the third overall pick would be, was like really people, it felt like everybody had an opinion, but nobody really had a clue how it was going to go. Was it going to be CJ Stroud or Anthony Richardson or Will Levis? Would it be a non-quarterback going in those first few picks? A lot of people were like, oh yeah, quarterbacks 1 through 4. And where have we heard that before, right? Because you're hearing that a little bit this year now with if the Vikings straight up to 4 to take J.J. McCarthy, will quarterbacks go 1 through 4? We thought that was possible. And as I said, it went, you know, quarterback. It's like, and then you're like, wait, what's going on in the third overall? Wait, who's gonna get drafted third overall based on the market movement? The markets always kind of surprise you on draft day, stuff you don't expect. I'm curious when we talk about the second overall pick, with Jaden Daniels versus Drake May versus J.J. McCarthy, I guess, for Washington at 2, like, ton of reporting on Daniels, and we can go over it again as we go through the show. Is that like, people know, and I don't mean better, it's just that, like, people around the, it's getting out a little bit that he's there. Is it that, or is it kind of like a giant smokescreen, which I just want to emphasize is still possible right now, that everyone can think something, and it's we are still more than a week away from the day of the draft. It's totally possible it's not going to be this. It could be it, but I think we're far enough out. I would not view this as like the end all be all, even despite some of the stuff that's come out, even based on some of the reporting.
So we'll effort to get Dane Brugler on either this segment or a little later in the show from The Athletic, released a 7-round mock draft today. But since Baldy is coming up later this hour here, Ken, and then we have a lot of NBA slated for later in the show, including Finals MVP, and that'll go into a conversation about our thoughts in these first-round matchups where I kind kind of can't wait to talk about, like, the Bucks and the Pacers, the Clippers and the Mavericks. That'll come up next hour on the show. Why don't we hit some of these NFL draft tidbits right now, going into Brian Baldinger? Or I feel like we may get Dane coming up here on the show in a little bit here, so we'll see how this goes. Welcome to live television, everybody. Live radio show, live podcast, whatever this is. So we'll tell you what's going on here in a second when we have more information here. But Ken, just on the Jaden Daniels thing, while you were out last week, while you were sleeping, while you were on vacation, starring Ken Barkley and Sandra Bullock, Baldy came on the show last Wednesday, and he said, kind of with the same nonchalant tone that Ron Rivera did, Ken, when he was on with us, with you and I think at the end of February, I don't even think we were in March yet when Ron Rivera came onto the show, basically said, yeah, like, Jaden Daniels is going to go to the Washington Commanders. And then Brian Baldinger said the same thing last week. Yeah, he thinks it's decided that Jaden Daniels is going to the Commanders. Adam Schefter appearing on a Washington Commanders, like, fan podcast recently. Shout out to them for having Adam Schefter on the show.
It was like Hogs Haven, like, or something. It had a good alliterative.
Yeah, that was really cool.
The name of it was, right? Yeah. So.
Well, now then it needs to be something different because, you know, they're not the Redskins anymore. Or just call it Hogs Haven. Whatever. Anyway, how about this? Joining us right now here on the show, and it is great to welcome him here to the show. Alex, I see him there. Alex is telling me that we don't have Dane yet. Just tell me when Dane is all set, Alex, and I will bring him onto the show here. Jaden Daniels, Ken, has been bet out now. Minus 300 at BetMGM. Was about minus 150 last week when Baldy joined us on the show. And I think you had said today that you had seen at some other sports books Daniels as high as about minus 500 to be the second overall pick. So it feels like this is going to be a done deal and that Jaden Daniels is going to be the second pick. But as you said earlier in the segment, we saw something similar happen just last year and things were not as they seemed.
Yeah, thought quarterbacks were going to go 1 through 4, like if you just went by the betting markets, right? But again, like, they're only as smart as the information that's available. There's very little, like, I think people think there's, like, a nefarious, like, there's, like, a group that just, like, gets all the information first and they get it weeks in advance. And there's, like, somebody out there right now who just knows, like, outside of the person making the pick for Washington, who the pick's going to be. And a lot of time that's just not the case. A lot of time it's, like, a report, it's a tweet, it's something from social media that, like, guides the betting market. It's not, like, the shadowy figure in the background that seems to know everything.
Well, the shadowy figure on our screens for the last couple of minutes has been Dane Brugler, who's been hanging out in our, like, waiting room area while we try to finagle technically how to bring him onto the show. It is great to welcome now, and we'll maximize the time we have remaining in this segment, with Dane Brugler, NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. You can follow Dane on Twitter at DP Brugler. People need to check out, and I've been reading it for years, I subscribe to The Athletic, The Beast is the most comprehensive work done on the NFL draft. It is insane. I think it's worthy of an Athletic subscription by itself. It is that good, Dane's work on the NFL draft. And he released a full, and it makes me tired saying this, a 7-round mock draft earlier today with like 700 picks in it. And Dane Brugler joins us now on the show, 8 days ahead of the NFL draft. Dane, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet. We appreciate the time. How's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dane, why don't we just start with kind of, you know, we can go past the first overall pick, which I think everyone expects to be Caleb Williams, and go right to kind of the hot topic today and yesterday, which is just, is it a sure thing that Jaden Daniels is going second? Does that make the most sense? What do you think they're going to do? I know you had a mock that came out today. Obviously, Drake May would be in the mix there. J.J. McCarthy would be in the mix there. What can you kind of tell us about how you evaluate these guys at 2 and 3? And is it a sure thing that Jaden Daniels is going second, as much as some of that reporting would have us believe?
No, look, Adam Peters, first-year general manager, Dan Quinn, now in his first year as the head coach with the Commanders, they're keeping things close to the vest. They are not leaking who they are taking. All of us on the outside, we're making educated guesses on who it's going to be at this point. And so I think you're absolutely correct with the number one pick. We're going to see Caleb Williams become a Chicago Bear. The draft starts at 2 and the Commanders. I don't think they're going to trade out. They're going to stick and pick. It just comes down to which quarterback do they believe is the guy. Who is number one on their board? For me, it's Drake May. I mean, I think he is the second best quarterback in this draft. I think that, you know, when you look at what you want in a quarterback, from just the size, the athleticism, the instinctive nature that he plays with, the arm talent, he has everything. And is it the most consistent all the time? No, but he's a young player who I'm going to bet on those traits every day. And it's not to say that Jaden Daniels isn't a good player. He is. He would be the next option. But it does feel like Daniels maybe is, and if you listen to the buzz, that is who's the favorite to be that number two pick. And I think you can understand why. Dan Quinn's coming at this from a defensive coordinator perspective. You know, he's looking at it, okay, which quarterback do I least want to face? who do I least want to prepare for? And Jaden Daniels, you have to prepare for him almost like a Lamar Jackson, because he has dual threat ability with his legs, especially down the field. On throws of 20 plus yards this past season, 22-0 touchdown interception ratio, 67% completions on those passes of 20 plus yards. So slot fades, these go routes, posts, he loves those throws and he's very good at it. But he also benefited from a really strong supporting cast, including two first-round wide receivers that we'll see off the board pretty quickly in Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. So both these guys are good quarterbacks, but for my money, I'm betting on May, although it does seem like the buzz is leaning towards Jaden Daniels at this point.
I would love to follow up and talk more about Daniels in the second overall pick, but we have limited time here, and in the interest of time, I want to maximize as much as we can with Dane and his like wealth of knowledge and information. Dane, let's talk about J.J. McCarthy. Every single person that we've had on the show, right, former players, analysts, former coaches, whatever, they all say the same thing. I think J.J. McCarthy is going in the top five or the top 10 of the draft, and I don't have him ranked there. And I kind of don't understand where the buzz is coming from on McCarthy, why the NFL loves him so much, but also we think he's going top five, we think he's going top 10. So, two-part question. What is your evaluation of J.J. McCarthy? Do you view him as this type of player in kind of like the May Daniels, Caleb Williams tier? And whether you think he is or not, whether you think he is or not, do you think that we're going to see him among the top five, seven, 10 names called 8 days from now next Thursday night?
Yeah, I do. And the biggest reason is there's a quarterback tax. If you're, unless you're picking one, two, or three, and you're picking early enough to draft one of these quarterbacks, you better trade up to get your quarterback. That's what history tells us. And so it doesn't always work out in terms of that player hitting. But if you're going to take a shot on one of these first round quarterbacks and you're picking outside the top five picks, you're going to have to trade up to do so. And we've seen it work out. The Bills trade up for Josh Allen. The Chiefs trade up for Patrick Mahomes. We've seen plenty of instances where it did work out for these teams. With J.J. McCarthy, you know, he's... honestly, my evaluation now is very similar to my evaluation in the summer. In my initial top 50 back in August, he was 18, 19, around there. I was very high on him. And at some point, a lot of people passed me in their evaluations on him or their projections on him. I've kind of stayed steady. I think there's a lot to like about him. The tools are outstanding. The intangibles are off the charts. There's just not a whole lot of body of work. There's more projection involved with J.J. McCarthy. So, you know, I think that he's going to win over a lot of coaches during, won over a lot of coaches during the interview process. But it's another thing to actually turn in that card and draft him. So we'll see. I do think there's a good chance he ends up in the top six picks, whether that's, you know, the Vikings. I don't think the Giants are going to do it, but I do think the Vikings are in play, especially at number 11, trading up to 4-5 and taking McCarthy there. We've never seen quarterbacks go 1-2-3-4. But it seems like there's at least a chance that that happens this year.
Dane, just a couple minutes to go, I want to ask you about the wide receivers. And you mentioned like the Washington wide receivers who are obviously really talented. Odunze is going to maybe go in the first 10 picks of the draft. But, you know, we saw some reporting in the last couple of weeks, I think, surprised some people. Oh, wait, some teams maybe have Malik Nabers at the top of their draft board instead of Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that surprised like those of us that watch college football. We thought Harrison was the no doubt for sure first wide receiver taken. How do you kind of have them ordered? And do you kind of buy the idea that a team would take Malik Nabers over over Marvin Harrison Jr.? We have about a minute to go.
Yeah, I mean, Malik Nabers is probably my favorite player in the draft, and I still have Marvin Harrison Jr. ahead of him, but I understand the Nabers love. If you want an explosive play, Malik Nabers is going to give it to you because he led all of college football last year, 34 catches of 20 plus yards. He gives you more after the catch than Marvin Harrison Jr. does. Now, I'm still taking the craftiness, the athleticism for a big man that Marvin Harrison Jr. brings, but Malik Nabers is right there. If Malik Nabers were in last year's draft, he would have been my number one overall player. Same thing with the year before. He is that good. So I understand the love for Malik Nabers. And if you really value what you can do with the ball in your hands after the catch, those yak plays, I can understand why a team was going to have Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. is still the favorite to be the first receiver drafted, but I don't think it's a consensus from team to team.
Dan, we have about 30 seconds to go here. As of right now, aside from the quarterbacks at the very top of the draft, what is the one thing in the first round that you feel the most confident is going to happen?
The Cardinals are going to come away with the receiver somehow, some way. Maybe they trade out of four and then they trade back into the top 10 to get an Odunze or a Malik Nabers. But I think the Cardinals, that's what they're want to do with it. When you have a top five pick, you need to come away with a special player. And I think one of these receivers fits that bill. It fits what they need, fits for Kyler Murray. So look for the Cardinals, whether they stay at four or they move around, they're going to get one of those top three guys.
Dane Brugler, one of the absolute best in the business when it comes to breaking down the NFL draft. Very much encourage people to check out The Athletic, to check out The Beast, which is what Dane's insane, in the best way, NFL draft guide is called. You can find it there at The Athletic, and dropped a full 7-round mock draft. 10 seconds here. How much of a beast, pun intended, is it to put a 7-round mock draft together? 10 seconds here to close.
It's a useful exercise because it forces me to really key in on what the organizational tendencies, the draft needs, all that thing. So it's time daunting, but I find it to be a useful exercise.
And that's why he's the best, because like I would get through like one round right. and eat a TV dinner or like play video games or something. So great job by Dane Brugler on Twitter at DP Brugler. Dane, we appreciate it, my man. Congratulations on the release of The Beast and the 7-round mock draft. We will talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Great. At any time, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah. NFL draft's a week away. On the other side, more NFL draft conversation. The great Brian Baldinger, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, joins Nick and Ken here on a Wednesday.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bob was choosing with the call this past football season on ESPN. Jaden Daniels playing well enough to win the Heisman Trophy. Maybe, just maybe, will be the second overall pick coming up in the NFL draft next Thursday night. Or maybe not. Betting market says he will be, but you know how these things work, especially with the NFL draft. Great stuff from Dane Brugler in the last segment. We'll be joined by our pal Brian Baldinger coming up momentarily, our Odyssey Sports NFL insider. A lot of NBA playoff and NHL playoff conversation a little later in the program. But while we wait for Baldy, Ken, let's do a little bit more on Jaden Daniels here, where, again, minus 300 now to be the second overall pick in the draft. And I think that's actually, like, BetMGM appears to be your home to bet Jaden Daniels right now to go second overall, because the price is minus 500 at some other sports books. So a bigger favorite Jaden Daniels is to go second overall. I said this last week when Daniels was about minus 150. So Baldy came on Wednesday, and on Thursday's show, like I said to Pete Prisco, and Pete was hearing the same thing. I'm thinking, why is the price only minus 150? And now it feels like, and obviously Adam Schefter saying what he said on Hogs Haven kind of like drove this up as well. I don't know if it's a lock or anything close to it that Jaden Daniels is going to be the second overall pick, but I will say I liked it a hell of a lot more at like minus 140, Ken, than I did at minus 300, minus 400, minus 500.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, you and I talked about this before the show today, just, you know, trying to get back up to speed on what had happened with the draft. I saw when I was flying back yesterday, like had TV and had the scrolling bottom line that had the quote from Schefter from the podcast. And like my, you know, your first thought when you see anything like that is like, all right, you put yourself in the other person's shoes. Like, is this, you know, person who's like the most, one of the most respected NFL insiders, if not the most respected, is he going to go on a fringy podcast? No offense, just, you know, not like something that's national, and say something like that without really being confident that he's on the right side of this, because he has so much to lose by being wrong. Like, I mean, if it ends up being Drake May, doesn't look great that you go on a podcast for the team and tell people to buy jerseys for Jaden Daniels. Like, that's, you know, it's not. So I think you try to put yourself in the other person's shoes and just be like, all right, not that it has to be Daniels, just that there's enough confidence there to say something like that. And even if it's in passing, even if it's offhand, like, this stuff is all very measured in terms of how these guys report this stuff. So that was my first thought when I saw that, as I go like, man, would he really do that if he wasn't at least like really confident that that's where this was going? But then you have like the juxtaposition of that with like some of the quotes coming out from Daniel Jeremiah today, where it's like, you know, basically is everyone being smokescreened, and Daniel Jeremiah basically saying, you know, anybody who knows for sure what Washington is doing it to, like, it like doesn't have it right. Like, it could be anything still, and basically we all could be getting smokescreened by what Adam Peters is the name of their general manager. And you brought up the story about Mac Jones and Trey Lance with a third overall pick with the Niners that year, where like everyone thought it was one thing around this time or earlier, and it turned out to be something completely different. From a betting standpoint, I guess I always feel like it's tough to give people advice on this exact type of thing. I'll start by saying this. I don't have any information, and you and I will sometimes get information that will be very valuable in markets like this. Maybe not this exact market, but markets like this. I got nothing, and I haven't even tried asking for something yet. I'm going to guess you at least don't have anything that you would qualify as like, let, you know, you want to give a betting opinion on this market.
It's
on
this, what you've heard. But this is what I right. have. I have the same stuff that like Adam Schefter has. And that's not to say that I have the same sources that Schefter has, but like, I think collectively all of like hashtag us, and I would consider myself to be a part of hashtag us, sure, and this particular usage of hashtag us, we're all hearing the same thing, that Jaden Daniels is going second overall to Washington. And just like the Jeremiah quote here, Ken, is that he said on his conference call with the media today, NFL coaches are, quote, overwhelmingly convinced that the Commanders will take Daniels, but that he thinks it's going to be Drake May. And Jeremiah emphasized suspense, knowing general manager of the Commanders, Adam Peters, again, who was with the Niners, and how Adam Peters tends to operate.
So if you know what you know, you Nick, not the person, well, I guess the person listening can do this exercise too, and you see that, does it make you change your mind about how you feel about stuff, or is it just like it's an interesting opinion that was offered?
I want to ask you a different question. I think like this is the crux of the matter here. So no matter what Ken's answer to this question, I'll speak for Ken. This does not mean that like anyone needs to go and rush and like bet into this market. That's not what this is. This is an opinion. It's not like a game that's going to be played. Like, there's an answer to the question. We don't yet know what the answer is. Adam Schefter went on a podcast. Shout out to them for getting Adam Schefter on the show and extracting this bit of information. Also, it might have been calculated by him. Like, who knows? I have no idea. But Schefter saying something to the effect of, like, you're a command. You guys like the Commanders? Go order your Jaden Daniels jerseys. I agree with you. Like, Adam Schefter, like, saw what happened to his cohort at ESPN a couple years ago. Like, is Paolo Banchero going to be the first overall pick? Jaden Daniels has emerged as a front runner to be the second overall pick here. Like, Schefter saw what happened to Woj a couple years ago. He doesn't want that to happen to him, I'm sure. And Schefter hasn't had something like that happen. So if Adam Schefter felt good enough to say that, he's a really smart guy. There's no way he's just, like, having a drink and shooting from the hip on a podcast. Right. No chance. Zero.
Sure.
Zero. So if all of that's true, accounting for the possibility that Adam Schefter is getting lied to or smokescreened, which also accounts for the possibility that he hasn't considered that already and, like, vetted all the sources, does minus 300 feel like the right price to you? Not that it's a definite. Does minus 300 feel right to you that Daniel should be the second pick in the draft?
I feel like you did that big buildup because you think I'm going to say no. I think the answer is yes. I think it's like it implies that it's very likely to happen, but not a certainty. Isn't that how we would qualify Jaden Daniels going second right now? Very likely to happen, but not a certainty. Now there's degrees like 300 and 500 and 1,000, and those are different, obviously, and the price is different, and what you win would be different if it happens. But yeah, like I don't know anything, but now I've heard all of the evidence on everything. And I think this makes, first of all, let's agree, it made perfect sense that it was like minus 120, and now it's minus 300. That made perfect sense. And that's going to operate on the rumor and innuendo and the quote and all that stuff. And that's fine, because there isn't anything else to balance against it. There's no somebody knows to balance against that right now, and there may not be until next Thursday. And then the Jeremiah stuff might just be like some interesting color provided, you know, in terms of the decision-making process and what ends up happening. That would lead you to this with 8 days to go, by the way. So I would at least, I mean, maybe we can agree on this at least, like, these kind of markets, especially, and even more than like NBA draft or like other information driven or awards, which are certain, like in terms of there's a voting block and they vote, it's not a win-loss probability game that's played where both sides have a chance to win. It's not the same. These can get a little weird when we're like this far. I wouldn't be like jamming Jaden Daniels bets in thinking that you're like, you've got the best of it here. And oh, well, like, there's no way Adam Schefter would do that. And it's there's no, like, saying things like, there's no way. And we're 8 days out and you're not an insider with sourcing. Like, these are bad things to say when you're like putting in bets, when you're putting in bets on something that's minus 300. I think, you know, I think a sort of a seasoned bettor who does not have information, a seasoned bettor with information, bets the information. A seasoned bettor who does not have information could conceivably make an argument that, like, well, if it's not done, do you bet Drake May? Like, with the idea that nobody really knows yet. And if nobody really knows and it's between two players, it's essentially still a coin flip in terms of who's going to get. Like, I had somebody try to, like, make that argument to me. And I'm just like, but it's not no information. Like, it's too much already to just be like, well, it's a coin flip and nobody knows. I don't buy that either. And so maybe that's just a really long way of saying, like, I think the markets are, this is a market with low limits too. It's like, I still think the market price is fine. Okay. Like, if you're listening to this and you're like, no, it's Daniels, or like, no, Drake May's contrarian, it has to be that, like, do you really disagree with this pricing? Which essentially says, like, again, a bet is created when your opinion differs from the market opinion. Market opinion is Jaden Daniels is very likely to be the second overall pick. And if it's not him, it's Drake May. What's wrong with that opinion right now? Like, what's the, you would have to be like, no, it's a certainty that it's Jaden Daniels. And so I want to bet minus 300, or, you know, you'd have to feel differently. I don't know how you can feel differently right now.
You better you bet with Nick and Ken here on a Wednesday. Brian Baldinger will join us coming up in 10 minutes here on the show. Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. We'll ask him, among other things, you had to be on a deserted island with one NBA player, who would it be? And we'll also ask him about Jaden Daniels and the second overall pick in the NFL draft and what the Washington Commanders are going to do. On Drake May, all the people that are making a case for Drake May, and Will Brinson did the show with me on Monday, and May was saying, Will was saying that he thinks May is going to be the second overall pick. I kind of pressed him on it a little bit. It does feel like the people that are making the case for Drake May, Ken, and maybe they're right, could be right, it's just like being contrarian. Well, you know, The Adam Peters has done things in secrecy in the past, and they've gone against their word in the past, like with San Francisco, when everyone thought they were taking Mac Jones. So that it has to be something different than what it is. Or you'll get someone that says, well, I think Drake May is a better prospect, so I would take him second overall. There's no Drake May information out there. So just like, I guess this is right. Me kind of just supporting what you were saying, that I just think, like, this is right. Like, Daniel should be a pretty big favorite in this market.
Yeah, like, there's a difference between there's Drake May buzz connecting him to Washington, and there's just the possibility of a Daniels smokescreen. Those are two totally different things. Like, it's just, doesn't have to be Drake May then. There's nothing connecting him, whatever. I kind of agree with you, and Like, we're going in one of two directions here, right? And this is the funny part. Draft's in 8 days. Is it more likely 8 days from now that we won't even start the show that day with this market because it'll be done and it'll be Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
Or
I think so.
And it'll be Daniels or done and it's, we know who it is, one way or the other.
I think this will eventually, eventually, I mean, there's only 8 days. So at some point soon, I think this will become like the Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson year, where like Lawrence is going to go first, Zach Wilson's going to go second. And then like, is it Mac Jones or Trey Lance? Is it Drake May or JJ McCarthy? Like, who's going third to the New England Patriots? That's my guess.
But like, to be fair, we kind of knew it was Bryce Young going into last year, and we still had like a ton of difference of opinion about who the second overall, like, just because it's quarterback, we don't have to know who the second quarterback is for it to play out that way. It doesn't, I could see it going one, so I, the, one of two ways, right? So way one is the one we just spent a minute on there. And then way two is we get, and it's Stroud last year, where like maybe, and he's like minus 150, but nobody knows anything. And we, I mean, I still, you know, told the story on the show before, or you listened to the show last year on the day of the draft, we're sitting there all afternoon and nothing's happening. And the betting markets are all really, really quiet and not stale, but quiet and just like stationary.
Stable.
There's not moving because there's nothing to bet. There's no information. No, clearly it hasn't gotten out who the second overall pick is yet enough that somebody would bet it. And then like you snap your fingers and 60 minutes before the draft, you just see Stroud dancing on the screen. And the name is like, that's price is just can't stop lighting up. And you go, oh, like, oh, and you have this aha moment, which everybody has that was watching it, where you just go like, oh, Stroud's going to be the second overall pick. And I need to go find books that aren't paying attention to this and go jam him there instead, because they're not moving as fast as this book is moving or that book's moving or whatever. I wonder, like, are we going to be, oh, it's Daniels, don't worry about it, or are we going to be that? And I think that's a really interesting thing to ponder.
Something I was pondering today, just even, you know, you and I were talking before the show about Dane Brugler's mock draft. I know he did like a full 7 round, but we were talking about the top 10. And it feels like right now, and, you know, we've been doing the show together for 5 years, but I've been following the NFL draft for my entire life. It's been something that I've always, like, really loved. And it feels like, at this point in the process, where we're 8 days out, there's always, Ken, and for our listeners and viewers also, like, you guys know this, right? You're lifelong sports fans, right? Love the NFL draft. There's always a level of groupthink where everyone that comes out with the mock draft will have, like the same, teams make picking the same player, right? And it always happens, and sometimes
Jalen
it's
Carter
right,
going
and
some. Fifth.
Right. Sure. Yeah. As an example, that's one where it goes wrong. Sometimes people get it right and everyone's just right about something. This top 10 feels to me like the top 10 where we've had the most uniformity in a really, really long time, where the expectation amongst like really smart people, and Peter Schrager kind of had like a haywire like top 10. He did last year also on his first mock draft at the Giants trading for JJ McCarthy. I don't think that's going to happen. I could be wrong, but it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Chargers trade out, like Vikings go up to 5 to take JJ McCarthy, the Giants take Malik Nabers, the Titans take Joe Alt, the Falcons take Dallas Turner, the Bears take Roma Dunze, the Jets take Brock Bowers. Everyone's got some kind of variation of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty much like what it is, with like one or two exceptions maybe out of the 10 picks. And history tells us, like, it's not going to go like that, right? It's not going to go like that, probably.
Well, not only is it not going to go like that, As like the drafts have progressed, I feel like we've gotten smokescreened better and by more teams. So like, not like 10 years ago, it wouldn't have gone like that. Now it's probably really not going to go like that. Like now it's going to be even more crazy, and not even crazy with trades, just like things you don't anticipate. It's with a year between drafts, there is a tendency to just kind of forget what it's like the night of the draft and how unexpected almost everything is after the first few picks, and we're probably going to have that again.
Yeah, so just, I think there are going to be a lot of great opportunities to make some really valuable bets over the course of the next 8 days. Hopefully we get some really good information. Maybe we'll get some on the other side when we're joined by Odyssey Sports NFL insider Brian Baldinger.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
A lot of NBA playoff talk coming up next hour on the show, including NBA Finals MVP. How to bet that particular market before we get the field finalized, the top eight in the East and the top eight in the West. We'll get to the NHL playoffs as well, and all our bets for tonight, including the Sixers and the Heat, the Bulls and the Hawks, and the Eastern Conference play-in in the final hour, the power hour of the show. But joining us right now, Odyssey Sports NFL insider, the great Brian Baldinger. He's the host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the best football show, featuring daily breakdowns of the most important storylines around the league. Baldy is on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. Baldy, welcome back to You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken. 8 days away from the NFL draft. How's it going?
Yeah, everything's good, Nick, Ken. I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm just still evaluating some day three players right here and just looking at the needs of these teams, just trying to perfect fits together to help out these teams to see if the teams that have been losing, like Houston, can turn things around with a great draft.
Baldy, I'm curious. I know you came on with Nick when I was on vacation. He and I were catching up before the show. We talked about this in the first hour. In your last appearance, the second overall pick was brought up. Is it going to be Jaden Daniels or Drake May? At the time, it was a pretty even betting market between the two of them. I think you said with a pretty high degree of confidence that you think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. The market now has him as a bigger favorite, and there's kind of, you start to get the little pieces of information. Adam Schefter on a podcast, like different, kind of reports that are out there. Still feel like Jaden Daniels at two, and what is your degree of confidence that it's Jaden Daniels at two?
I think it's pretty high. I mean, they've traded away Sam Howell. He was their starter the last 18 games. And so there's nobody on that roster right now, Marcus Mariota. There's nobody there that is going to be the day one starter in my mind. And so you have to draft a quarterback. And Jaden Daniels has transferred. He has improved. He became the best dual threat quarterback in the country. He won the Heisman. I think part of Cliff Kingsbury kind of spurning the Raiders to go to Washington was maybe to get the opportunity to coach Jaden Daniels. I feel it with real certainty that that's going to be the player that Washington takes.
Baldy, do you buy the people that will say, well, Adam Peters, who's the general manager of the Commanders, when he was with the 49ers, they had this epic smokescreen a couple years ago. Everyone was convinced that they were going to take Mac Jones with the third pick in the draft, and they end up taking Trey Lance. And because that happened, that means that all the people that really think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, like, they're wrong, and it's going to be May. No, you're a big boy band fan. Drake May with the second overall pick to the Washington Commanders. What about that school of thought, Baldy, that, well, Adam Peters did it to us once before, so it has to be that again here, and it's going to be someone other than Jaden Daniels going second overall?
Well, I don't know if Adam Peters had all the decision-making powers in San Francisco. I mean, I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, I think there was others that were in on that. And by the way, how'd that work out for both teams between Trey Lance and Mac Jones? I mean, neither one are with their teams. Both have been benched a number of times. And so it didn't really matter. I mean, if there was a smokescreen or not, and if Adam Peters had the decision-making, you question, gosh, you could just question the decision-making in drafting either one of those guys at this point.
Yeah, it's like, now that you know, would you take it back and take the other guy? Be like, nah, like, I don't know, neither.
But what if you could take Zach? What if you could trade up to two to take Zach Wilson? Then what would you do?
Right. Would you take Zach Wilson at two? Right, exactly. Yeah, it's good to see how it goes. Baldy, I want to ask you about some reporting that came out. Michael Penix Jr., obviously, like, people have been trying to link him to different teams. You mentioned you're doing your day three player analysis already. A lot of people are trying to figure out, and we see this happen every year, right, is another quarterback, if we assume they're going to be four taken in the first round, J.J. McCarthy, and then kind of the big three that we've talked about. People assume there might be, hey, what about that quarterback? Last year was Hendon Hooker, right? Is he going to be a first-round quarterback? Michael Penix Jr. is the name that's been brought up the most. Do you consider him at all a first-round quarterback, and could you see that happening?
I think he's the best. I think he's the second best quarterback in the draft. So, I mean, I'd be shocked if he's not taken in the first round. I think teams might trade up for Michael Penix if he gets past Seattle at 16. I would expect somebody to trade up. I think he's going to get taken. I don't know how in the world you could watch any of the quarterbacks and not think that Michael Penix is every bit the player that Jaden Daniels is, or J.J. McCarthy, or Drake May. I mean, I don't even get it. If you put J.J. McCarthy in Washington's offense, you think they're going 14-0 and playing the national championship? Like, I don't think there's a chance. He's the best deep ball thrower in his draft, and he's faster than any quarterback in this draft, and if he wants to be elusive, he can be. He decides to carve you up for the pocket. I think he's an elite player, and I think he's going to be a first-round pick in this draft.
You better you bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley here on a Wednesday, joined by Odyssey Sports NFL insider Brian Baldinger, breaking down the NFL draft. Baldy is on Twitter at BaldyNFL. All right, so you gave us a thought there on Michael Penix. You mentioned J.J. McCarthy and Drake May as part of that answer. And Baldy, my apologies, because I'm going to ask you a similar question to what I asked you last week. But we've had a week in between, and the draft is obviously next week. So, you know, I asked you how you see like 2 and 3 going in the draft, assuming Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick. And you mentioned last week you think Jaden Daniels is going to go 2. And then that you had been hearing that despite like what your evaluation might be, or others' evaluations might be, that there is a reasonable chance that J.J. McCarthy could possibly go ahead of Drake May and be the third quarterback selected, whether it's to the New England Patriots at 3 or otherwise. Curious, Baldy, after another week of like you watching tape, you talking to decision makers around the league, people that know what's happening, do you still feel that way, that there's a real chance that J.J. McCarthy is the third quarterback off the board and goes ahead of Drake May next Thursday night?
I think there's a chance for that. I mean, if you go back and you watch when J.J. is when the initial play breaks down or his protection breaks down, they didn't have great offensive tackles at Michigan. When the protection did break down and he had to scramble and just go to the next play, create the play, go beyond the X's and O's, you know, more times than not, he'd find Roman Wilson and he'd have a connection. Like, you see more of those type plays when you go look for those plays from J.J. I just think, you know, I just have a hard time. And I'm not down on any of these quarterbacks, but we've seen, Nick, like, it's rare. In fact, it's never really happened that, you know, quarterbacks go 1-2-3 or 1-2-3-4, that they all work out. So you just have to, you know, go back to 99 and look at Tim Couch and look at Akili Smith and, you know, the whole thing. But I do think that when you watch Drake May, like, why wouldn't you study Drake against Clemson 2 years in a row? That's the best team in the ACC or year in, year out, and go, man, he sure did struggle against the best team. Like, it'd be like watching Jaden Daniels against Alabama, and you go, God, that just like uncorked the best of Jaden Daniels playing against Alabama and what he did to that team. So I just have a hard time, and you watch him against North Carolina State, and you watch him against some of these other teams, and he doesn't wow you at all with his accuracy decision-making. Yet I understand why you fall in love with his frame, with his size, with, you know, the head that's attached to it, and how he talks about the game. But the accuracy thing, I have a hard time wrapping my arms around it sometimes.
Baldy, would love to ask you about wide receivers also. The quarterback's obviously the biggest talking point in this draft, as they are in every single draft. And I think some good thoughts there on like Penix and then McCarthy and some of the mechanics between them. Drake May against Clemson, I think, was a really good point about playing the best team. The receivers, seems like people have some different orders too, how they think this is going to play out. A lot of people think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver. A lot of like casual fans like me think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver. And then we see mocks where Neighbors goes first, or we hear people say, don't be surprised if Adunze goes earlier than you expect, maybe in front of both of them, maybe at least in front of Malik Neighbors, something like that. How do you have them ordered, and is that how you think it's going to play out?
I mean, it's a deep class, you know, Ken. So, I mean, I like Roma Dunze. I like him better than everybody. I just like his overall size, the way he catches the ball, contested catches. I mean, you can find any, you know, in today's world, you can find any measurable to rank the guy in front of the other guy. I mean, you can look at Marvin Harrison as an 18-year-old freshman in Columbus and look at him in the Rose Bowl. He's the best player in the Rose Bowl as an 18-year-old. I mean, it's not often that 18-year-olds can dominate a game of that magnitude, but he did. You know, and then the next 2 years, he was lights out good. But I just watch Rome and how smooth he is, how he catches everything with his hands, you know, his vertical leap, his speed, the whole thing. Like, he plays way above the rim. You can look for the comps out there. They're all there. Like, I think Rome is the best, but we might get 3 really good players, 3 true number ones. We might get 3, you know, Jamar Chases in this draft. It's possible. It doesn't happen often, but we might get 3. And a lot depends on the offense they go to and who the quarterback is, as we've seen, you know, with C.J. Stroud last year and what happened to that receiving class that he threw to. They all got better. And guys that we didn't think Nico Collins could catch 80 balls and 12 touchdowns like he did, but that's what a great quarterback does. And so I think that's going to affect it. Would Ja'Marr Chase be Ja'Marr Chase if he didn't have, you know, the quarterback that he has and Joe Burrow? Like, he might not be that type of player right now.
Baldy, let's close with this. We have about 30 seconds to go. Not a betting question, but just something that's really interesting in football. ESPN had an article come out today basically saying that, like, Robert Kraft tried to sabotage Bill Belichick's candidacy to be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Not asking you about that, but the article kind of says, like, the only way Belichick was going to be a coach, a source says this, is if Jerry Jones hires him, and kind of makes it seem like Bill Belichick's not going to get another opportunity to coach in the National Football League. Do you think we see Bill Belichick in another opportunity, Baldy, to coach in the National Football League? Have about 30 seconds for the answer.
Yeah, I do. I think he'll coach again. Because if you're trying to win and you're trying to get the best coach, then he should be coaching. I mean, I could give you, 10 guys in this league right now that can't, they don't belong in the same room as Bill Belichick, but they're coaching. So, I think he'll coach again. And I think he'll come away as a better coach in the next time around. I don't know how you get better, but I think there'll be certain things, like personnel things might be off his plate, which might be a good thing for Bill. Maybe let him just coach. And I think he'll be back next year for sure.
Can you give us two of those guys that you think that are coaching now that don't belong in the same room with Bill? I'm kidding. You can if you want to, but I'm joking. But we'd like to keep having you on the show, and we love having you. The great Brian Baldinger joining us here on You Better, You Bet. You got to check out Baldy on the Odyssey Original Podcast, the best football show featuring daily breakdowns of the most important storylines around the league. Does great work on the NFL Network, Fox Sports, etc. on Twitter at BaldyNFL. Baldy, at some point, we're going to have to talk about the fact that I influenced Kyle Shanahan's play calling at the end of the Super Bowl where he went for that fourth down against the Kansas City Chiefs. We can save that for another time. My friend, stay well. Good luck with this coming week, and we'll talk to you next week prior to the draft.
All right, guys. You bet, man. I look forward to it. Thanks.
Oh, you better, you bet. The great Brian Baldinger joining us here on the show. ton of NBA playoff betting coming up next hour on the show, including Finals MVP.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.